gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I am Rum Daddy Elf.
And I'm John O'Lobster, the spirit of lobsters past. Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol has been remade countless times, from Patrick Stewart to Bill Murray to the Muppets. The latest version, starring Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds, incorporates both a meta take on the source material and musical numbers, because the afterlife is a musical for some reason. After a one-week theatrical run, this Apple original film was released on the tech giant streaming service Apple TV+. Now, we're getting into the holiday spirit with Spirited and deciding if, in our final film review of 2022, it belongs on the nice list or if it is, in fact, unredeemable. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's probably one of the only good songs.
Okay, truth be told, you did mention it a couple weeks ago, this was a musical.
Yes.
But it was like something that went in passing, and
it went in one ear and out the other.
Yes.
Yeah, because I figured it probably had like maybe two, maybe three songs at the most, because they really weren't promoting it as a musical. The only thing you saw from the promos was like the end of the tap dancing number, where they finished tap dancing and then they commented on each other's skill. But that was it.
That was from the first trailer. The second trailer goes a bit more into it. But as Beef said in our group meet today, and I want to immortalize this turn of phrase, he said, and I quote, "We share a ton of words on these shows. It's a podcast.
Yeah.
That's all we do share words.
There's sometimes
sometimes in the proper order.
Yeah, sometimes the proper order. But I'm going to use that as my elevator pitch. Anytime anyone asks me what the podcast is about, I'll say, we share a ton of words about movies and all kinds of crap. Yeah. So, yes, this is a musical. It is not music a minute. Like, there are, I think, only like a dozen or so songs, but
that's still a lot of songs.
It's still a lot of songs, and some of the songs are repeats, like that Christmas Morning Feeling and The View From Here. Like, those get recycled a couple of times, reprised. I think
is the reprised. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it is a musical. It's also like 2 hours long, or a little bit more.
217.
Fuck. 217. Right. So it's longish.
Longer than Die Hard.
For a comedy, and I'm going to go, I think I'm going to be the rogue on this one. I really liked it. I really enjoyed it.
I had fun. And I do want to say one thing that bugs me about this movie is that Ryan Reynolds is so goddamn fucking charming in everything he does. He
is. It's hard to see him be the asshole.
He's even when he's the asshole, he's funny in it. Yeah. But just Ryan Reynolds in general is so goddamn charming all the time.
And they do call that, they call that out in the movie. Like, the first ghost sleeps with him because he's so
and she ends up with him. I mean, that's nice turn. Well, of course,
spoilers, but yes.
Well, I hope they watched it.
Please watch this. What did you think?
I'm really curious as to hear your take.
If you have, I just want to pause because I know we do a spoiler alert, but like, do watch this because we probably will spoil the end of the movie. And that, I think that does kind of ruin the movie if you know the end. But go ahead.
I'm just going to say this before we go on any further to back you up. I am very happy that I knew absolutely nothing about the movie going into it. Even though so much of the end is telegraphed.
Yeah,
and like, you totally can figure it out when you're halfway through the movie. You can figure out how it's going to end. But I'm still happy I didn't know anything about it. Please watch the movie and then come back and listen to the rest of this cast.
And Beefsteak.
The fucking musical part, man.
Beefsteak. I love that.
Beefsteak.
I wasn't having it. And then Octavia Spencer's first number about hating her life and working for him and finding dirt on the kid. I was like, all right. Some of it. All right, I'm going to try. I'm really going to fucking try. And then there were a couple other ones that weren't horrible, but some of them I flipped through my phone a little bit. But overall, I know I'm jumping all over the board. It's like I'm giving my final rating, but the guts of the movie, when it was just Ryan Reynolds being the most charming man on the planet and Will Ferrell just being goofy Will Ferrell, oddball. Like the Elf, but 5 million times toned down. I loved the movie, not the musical. I got past some of the musical numbers, but it was a lot of fun. It was for a fucking curmudgeon like I am, it felt good to watch the movie.
I turned to my wife about, I don't know, halfway or a third through the movie, and I was like, watch this be the one that gets beef into musicals. Like, we've been showing him Cabaret and what was the other big one? Oh, Singing in the Rain. Like, we've showed him these classics, and he's like, ah, fuck that. And then this stupid, like, Apple TV Plus movie is going to be the one that hooks up.
I will never love musicals, but like,
never say never.
Yeah, I guess
we'll find that one. Well, eventually.
You don't have to love musicals. No. You don't have to be a big, like, you know, High School Musical fan or whatever like that. But I feel that over the course of this last year that we've introduced him to a few musicals, some great, some not so great, and you kind of understand musicals a little bit better going into this, and you have a better appreciation than you did before.
And I like tolerance that this movie
might be a better word than appreciation. Tolerance.
And I like that this movie like has a sort of like begrudging attitude towards musicals.
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, just
that's half my notes.
Don't sing. You can have whatever you want, just don't do another musical number.
No. There is no call for singing. Let's go.
Yeah. I really like that. I really, really like the way this movie is staged.
What's his hairstyle like?
Like the budget on this movie was like $75 million. I can't believe this was just like a one-off Apple movie, because this has an insane budget. It's got a great cast. But like the sets, the scenes,
they cabin in the fever the shit out of it. The cabin in the wood. They cabin in the woods that with like behind the scenes of like setting these in the transitions department.
Oh, the transitions were amazing. There was Rick, you know, being a production designer and an art director. We sat back watching when they're like, "Oh, it's changed the set," and then they have the stage people running in, moving shit. Was brilliant. Yep. The only problem that I had with the entire film was, they spent a lot of money in building these huge sets, and they used a lot. They used some digital backgrounds and rear projection, and did these great sets. And all of a sudden, this one big number was just done. Everyone wearing black with flashlights, which was the only part where I felt they dropped the ball.
No, I really like that scene. I know exactly the one you're talking about, because I'm like, that's a choice. Like, that's a really sort of analog, like, almost like low budget. Like, anybody could do that.
It felt like they ran out of money.
Yeah. Like I was saying, like, well, that's in a college black box theater with, like, flashlights from the dollar store.
They had all these fancy dancers doing it the whole time.
Right. So. And I was like, it's actually a really cool effect, and it's an analog effect. It's not whatever, you know, digital. And then the one at the end during the credits that they cut, did you guys watch that one?
Yeah, I watched that. Did you watch it?
It's in black and white, but they flood the entire set.
That's super expensive.
I was like, holy shit. No wonder they showed the footage, because if they actually did that, and like, that costs a lot of money.
I wanted to talk about that, and here's my theory on it. My theory on it was that number was in the movie, because it says what the credits at the end, cut scene that it was in the movie. And when the editor and the director watched it, it wasn't like the movie was too long. They were like, this number breaks the pacing, because we know exactly where that number would have gone, because they do it. It's the one where he
turns the spotlight on and he's like, no, we don't have to sing.
Yeah, we have to sing, And then they keep going with the story because it broke up the pacing. And I'm sure they were like, okay, this cost us way too much money to cut it out. And the editor or somebody else said, why don't we just play it during the credits?
Play during the credits as a cut scene. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought the production value on this was astonishing. I have some issues with the pacing, and this movie throws a lot at you. Like, it goes from, we're setting up the idea of the afterlife and the this and that, then we're going to go research the guy, then we're actually going to pick this other guy and learn about him, and then we're going to set up the thing and go through the whole thing, and then it's going to twist again, and then Will Ferrell's character is going to retire, become a regular human, but then the thing's going to go on, and then, like, it just went and went and went. And, like, what did we say? 2 hours, 17 minutes, 2.5 hours almost. Yeah. And it's stuff right up until the end of the credits is happening.
And to be honest, it never really bores you.
I did not think it was boring. I'm not saying it was boring. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot more than I expected in this movie.
The dance numbers were tight. Mm-hmm. All the people dancing in the big production numbers were tight. Mm-hmm. And as we're watching the film, Rick turns to me and goes, I think this is the same guys who wrote The Greatest Showman. And I said, no, I think it's Dear Evan Hansen. And it was both. It's the same guys. Yeah. Wow. We were both right. Because a lot of the music sounded to me like it came from like, could have been in Dear Evan Hansen, the way the music went. But it was also could have been The Greatest Showman. And when I looked it up on the Wikipedia, the two guys who did all the music,
worked on both.
You could tell.
Yeah.
Very modern sounding numbers that you don't, that
you've always are hearing. Dialogue kind of interspersed in the songs,
Yeah. And stuff that you've only heard in musicals in the last 5 years, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Beef, was there a song or number that you absolutely loved? Was it, in fact, Good Afternoon?
It has to be either Good Afternoon, because that's just awesome. It's, fuck you, or go fuck yourself. But the one that really broke my armor was the Octavia Spencer, the first one where she's in her boardroom. That one, I think, is when I put in the group me, like, all right, I think I might be able to make it through. And that was early on.
And here's the ironic part. It was a slow song.
It was.
Yeah. It was a sad song.
Yeah, well, that's sad why. Song. I'm a sad bitch. I mean, I don't know if you know this. That's me.
I think this movie does something really smart by putting Octavia Spencer in the movie.
I agree, if it
was just Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell, those guys are a lot, and you needed somebody to ground the movie, and her character does that.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I love about this film is that if this movie was made by old Hollywood, they would have cast somebody much younger and prettier in her role.
Yep.
And it would have been okay if she was like 28 and Will Ferrell's character was, well, he's
250.
Like 200, but like, you know, Will Ferrell is like in his 50s.
Yeah.
And the age discrepancy, and not to mention they would have cast somebody really pretty, thin, and young. Mm-hmm. Instead, they cast Octavia Spencer, which
really, really smart. Really, really smart. And I think I had that same thought. I'm like, thank God it's someone age appropriate and like who makes like just makes sense. Like it just makes sense that is
and they're
the
fucking adorable together.
Of course, yeah. Right.
Did you guys see the throwaway elf in the background when he became a human?
Yes.
And he says directly to him, you look like an idiot. Or he
you look like an idiot. Yeah.
I thought that was great. Love.
And by the way, that's a 2-for-2 with Will Ferrell having two hit Christmas movies.
Will this have the staying power of Elf?
I think it will.
Okay.
Especially if they can give me one with light on the music part. Take a few of them numbers out, get it down to like 150, 153.
Yeah. Okay. Just cut all the music. That's
no,
fine.
No. Just leave like the four that I really enjoy.
Yeah. Can we talk plot and sort of the setup of who Will Ferrell's character is? Because they
Listen, get the fuck out of here if you haven't watched the movie, if you by in any way are going to be saddened by being spoiled, because I don't think we can do this movie justice without talking about the ending, without talking about the middle, the twist I didn't see coming. No. I didn't, right? I mean, did you guys
see the Will Ferrell twist coming?
Oh, I totally saw it coming.
Okay, go on, oh, Mr. School Guy.
Okay.
See, Mr. Well, because, I remember okay, everything.
You know when he walks into the room with the glass statues mm-hmm. of all the people that he saved?
Yep.
And one of them was Dolly. If you stop it, you Dolly can see Parton. One
of them is the first one he puts on, yeah.
But yeah. They do a shot where it's over the shoulder of the statue looking at Will Ferrell, and it has sort of the long hair. I don't want to say the S word yet. But
just say it. We warned them.
We find out that the ghost of Christmas Present is in fact the redeemed soul of the ultimate bah humbug himself, Ebenezer Scrooge.
I have a problem with that and also the end of the movie a little bit.
Okay.
Because these unredeemables these unredeemables are like kind of redeemed. Slightly redeemed-ish. I mean, you have Ryan Reynolds, who's redeemed for like 4.5 minutes, enough for a musical number, and Scrooge, who was redeemed for what, 3 weeks?
Three and a half weeks.
Back
in my day, the leading cause of death was January.
Yeah.
That was funny.
There was a line about Molly in one of the dance numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It was like something about makes you jolly. A little bit of Molly.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the reveal that he is in fact Ebenezer Scrooge, that he was sort of the ultimate lost cause.
Little Larry.
So I did a little digging, and apparently Charles Dickens did at one point consider naming the character Little Larry, not Tiny Tim. Like that's canonical.
That's
Dickens lore.
Because when you have Will Ferrell bumbling around, like splurting these things out, you're like, there's no way this is legit. And it is. Yep.
And by the way, these two fuckers are both tall. Like they stood head to head.
Oh, yeah.
But they're both like 6'3", 6'4". They're both enormously tall.
And I think that's a really smart plot decision to sort of like, That kind of grounds the whole, why is he so set on redeeming Ryan Reynolds' character? It's sort of like to justify that he can be redeemed. And then, so the twist is, was that the twist? Was that the Oliver twist?
Yeah, that he was Scrooge. Couldn't remember Tim's name.
I thought that the twist was going to be a little bit later, and I'll save that one. But that retirement, so after you die, you have the option of joining this cadre of ghosts who go out to redeem souls, apparently only on Christmas and only through musicals. But if you die, you can become one of these ghosts, and after serving for a certain amount of time, you can retire, and by retire, that means you actually come back to human life.
At the same age you died?
Which is bizarre. The same age you died.
Yeah, so what if you died at like 93, right?
Right. I mean, like, I don't know exactly how that's supposed to work or why, but that's the gimmick. And so he's conflicted about, does he want to be a human again? And if he does become a human, will he still be a good person, or will he revert to his Scroogey ways?
Can I do this once a month?
Yeah,
showering.
Yeah, indoor plumbing.
I love that.
I shower.
Yeah. I shower once. I'm a shower once a month, man. That's amazing. I think I have moderate to severe Crohn's disease.
Turn that off. Yeah, turn that off. I mean, it's just dumb fun. The movie it hits you enough in the Christmassy bone, right, to make it. And
then the
musicals, just slow it down. That's it.
I feel like this film is absolutely family friendly.
Yeah.
Even though they say
there's a couple lines that
also cyberbullying child suicide is a plot point.
That's true.
Also, emotional abuse from a parent about a lost Christmas puppy is also a plot point. That hit me even harder.
That was a total 80s kid move. I could see my drunk mother or a friend's drunk mother or something somewhere down the block that being done in small town Wisconsin.
Oh, if you leave the door open, right. It lets the heat out, and apparently small puppies too.
Oh. I was like, oh,
Sparky,
fuck.
Sparky.
And then the sister broke it down for him. That was great. Yep.
So...
Okay,
Ryan Reynolds' character. I want to go ahead. I was just going to say, back
from our Flash days, you know what my biggest pet peeve is, right? Is bad wigs.
The sister had
the worst wigs in every scene. I mean, they were horrible.
Some bad wigs.
Ryan Reynolds' character.
The Ryan Reynolds character, who is the one that they are trying to redeem and fix... he's a PR guy. He's a real scumbag sort of guy. But, you know, also in the Ryan Reynolds way, he's very charming and you, you know, are sort of into him, even though you're like, oh, he's kind of a jerk. The Scroogification of his character, I guess, anti-Scroogification, the Christmas caroling angle. Like, eventually they do get around to the plot point of, like, actually... sort of trying to make him a good person, which I'm still not convinced is like he gets out of it, but then he saves the human Ebenezer Scrooge, the now once again mortal Ebenezer Scrooge, by jumping in front of a bus and the whole thing, and he dead.
The line right there where he's like, well, nobody's trying CPR. And what's his face is like, whew, there's not much left to breathe into.
Where would they even blow into?
Or that's it. That's, I was like, holy fuck, that's morbid for a Christmas movie. Yeah.
I was like, thank you. Thank you for, dude got hit by a bus.
Yeah.
He dead.
He flew like 40 fucking feet and ended up in the bed of a truck.
Yeah.
But we all saw that coming, right?
No, I didn't.
I actually didn't. I was shocked. I did. But I enjoyed the shock.
I knew that at some point because they made such a point of Will Ferrell's character wanting to retire and be human again. But he also made a point earlier saying that the way that he stepped into the role was that the guy before him did the same thing.
Yeah.
That the only logical choice would be for Ryan Reynolds' character to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw Ryan Reynolds' death coming way ahead of it. Yeah.
Man.
Because he wasn't really redeeming himself fully. He wasn't going through those phases.
Yeah, I saw him joining the team because I'm like, oh, he's a PR guy. His whole thing is about convincing people to change their attitude. Like, Uncle he's going to join their team somehow. But I didn't expect him to get off right there. But hey, good for the movie. I think they landed the punch. Like, I think they made it work. And of course, the sort of wrap up to this is that he's now the new Ghost of Christmas Present. He's kind of recruited some people to help him, including his dead sister is now on the team. And away they go to save more curmudgeons.
Tracy Morgan.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
Brilliant. Voice only.
Oh my God. It didn't even click. I'm like, I know the voice, but I never thought about it. He just shows up and points at things mainly.
Yeah. But he has great one-liners. Well done.
No, but they call him out. They're like, he's like, yeah, he just shows up and points at stuff. So.
Yep. You in the bone zone.
Ooh, trying another one, aren't we?
I do love that they Blues Brothers the end of the movie. Meaning that the closing musical number, they showed everybody who had ever appeared in it, including Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
And then they turned the camera around and showed the entire crew singing along. And I love that.
That, I thought the finale was great. There are, if you watch that number, as they're going to different parts of the film, they go back to every scene they were in previously. Yeah. And then... Yeah, awesome. Really well done.
Shall we do the thing?
And then you get the cut scene again. I just want to like out myself and say I just downloaded the soundtrack, so I'm going to listen to that.
I'm going to probably do the same Christmas
road trip somewhere, so I'm
excited. LA's open.
Yeah, the rest of the country, like, we're about to get hit with some freezing cold weather.
We're about to get pounded with some snow up here pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, let's look at the thing. Let me get my... Sorry, the dog is barking.
That's all right. Crazy dog.
What she's on about, but let's hit this.
This isn't singing, this first one.
No, this is all dialogue. You're just talking, and I spaced it out, so it's nice and easy to read.
I'm very not good at reading. See, it's a documented fact that one person's rating can have a ripple effect, spreading opinions like posting your Spotify Wrapped playlist. No, scratch that. Sorry. You know, like, you know when people share their account login information. More like that. More like that. Now, finally, we have a streaming app with global reach. If we can rate this Christmas musical, imagine just how far these ripples could go. For Spirited, are you going legendary?
We're bringing back Christmas. We're bringing back cheer. We're bringing back cozy nights, those twinkly lights, the glow of yesteryear.
Legend of its time.
Bring on the chili of positive outcome.
I love the fucking pots of chili for the positive outcome.
Yeah, that's what you need to celebrate.
Cult legend.
A haiku. Apple musical. A Dickens of a movie. Ferrell and Reynolds.
Awesome.
Good afternoon. It's tons of fun. And if you're shocked, then you can kiss my Dickens, son.
Entertaining.
You've been Christmas Carol, bitch.
Mabel.
Oh my god, they're shit whispering me.
Forgettable.
Oh no. There's no need for a whole big number here. No spotlight, Gary. Kill the spot.
Abysmal.
Unredeemable.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Scrooge. Yes, like the Dickens book and the Bill Murray movie and every other adaptation nobody asked for.
That's a fucking great line. With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of teen cyberbullying suicide.
I don't even think he was a teen then.
He was just a kid.
Yeah, are you a teen in eighth grade?
No. Yeah, you're like,
or sixth grade?
You're 13, maybe.
I think they actually said they were 11 years old.
Oh, well, preteen cyberbullying suicide. Sorry.
Who wants to start this puppy off?
Sorry, kids. I think Beef should. Beef is our musical anti.
I agree. Beef should.
Musical doubter. Did this get him in the Christmas spirit?
It got me more in the Christmas spirit than I thought I would. I don't know if I can go full awesome. There's a lot of fucking music in it for me to go full awesome.
Yeah, but you like music.
Yeah, but not musicals.
Yeah, but you don't hate musicals because every single musical that we've seen, you've been like, okay, wasn't that bad?
Yeah, because I have to watch them for this show, so I have to find some
like
thing.
You don't have to like
them. I also can't be Wing all the time and be mad about them.
Yeah.
It is very entertaining. Is it awesome, though? There's a lot of... It's at least been Christmas Carol, bitch. I might have to lean into the Good Afternoon, though.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to
good
me.
Good afternoon.
Come back to me. It's entertaining. With some good afternoon? I don't know. It's probably awesome. Just stay away from the cyberbullying fucking suicide stuff. That's not cool. Don't make that trend.
You get to pick who goes next.
Oh. Oof. Do I go mustache or beard? They're both petting their respective
We're both stroking our facial
hairs.
Hair. Yes.
All right.
Yes, I see.
Since Rum Daddy's is more newer, he gets to go next. Okay.
Stash wins.
All right.
Stash wins.
I had a couple problems with the movie. I had problems with also, like, everything was, well, I mentioned earlier, we had like these big numbers and production design, and then all of a sudden one of the most important songs is done with everyone dressed in black and flashlights. And I'm like, it felt like they ran out of money. And then, of course, it's snowing like crazy, and none of the snow is falling on them, mm-hmm. which means that it was all digital.
It's all fake, yeah.
It was all fake. I'm still going to give it a legend of its time.
What?
Bring on the chili of positive.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun.
The chili. And I don't know, the chili.
Yeah, right.
The second time I see it, maybe I won't enjoy it as much, but the first time I sat through it, I'm giving it a bring on the chili of positive outcome.
That's a very positive outcome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It had a lot of things in between. Like, seriously, we're sitting on the couch and I go, that's Judi Dench. And then they go, that's Judi Dench.
That's Judi Dench.
So, yeah, I'm giving it a Legend of Its Time. And Lobster, what do you got?
Well, I walked into this with, to say that I had low expectations would be an overstatement. I walked into this with no expectations. Unlike Charles Dickens, I did not have great expectations.
Oh, I see what you did.
Wow. But the Oliver Twist here is, oh, did another one. Oh,
Jesus no. Christ.
Wasn't the bar called Copperfields too? Like everything, so. Or the hotel?
Everything.
The hotel.
You got to really pay attention because there was so much sewn in,
layered in there. Yeah. No, I'm going to call this awesome. Good afternoon. Pardon my French, because I think that this is a Christmas classic in the offing. I think that this, if it gets a wider audience, and I think it's kind of a bummer that it was only in theaters for a week, because just like with Glass Onion, I think these streaming services are attracting great, great talent and putting out great content, but it's limited to those people who, A, have access to them, and B, like, think to watch them, right? And I think a movie like this to see with an audience, the way we talked about, like, Rocky Horror Picture Show and how much more fun that is to enjoy with an audience, I think this would have been super fun to see in a theater in that sort of like day or two after Christmas where you're like sick of your family, you want to get out of the house and go turn your brain off for a bit. This would be like a super fun movie to go see. So I'm bummed that I can't call this a cult legend, because I think it has the potential to be one, the way that Elf has kind of become, and A Christmas Story and National Lampoon and whatever. I think this could get there, because it is really well done. The songs are super catchy. It's very well cast. The production design is amazing. And I love that flashlight bit that Will's talking about, because it was so lo-fi. And I don't know. I just think, like, if The Afterlife is a musical, yeah, they're taking you back to the Black Box Theater to, like, learn how musicals are done. So I think that's cool. I will say again to you, sir, good afternoon. In fact, if you want to have a good afternoon, you should watch Spirited.
I didn't mind the flashlights. It just took me a while, because at first I was like, are they Iron Manning it up? And then I'm like, yeah. Oh no, they're in their wrists. Like, I'm like, I don't get this. Isn't that a Disney property?
Mm-hmm.
Last word on Spirited.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Cotton candy.
Ooh, I knew it. So sexy. All right. I guess here's the thing. We've all been abducted by three ghosts on Christmas Eve, and we have learned to change our miserly ways and embrace the spirit of Christmas and generosity. And then when we wake up that next morning, we're so dazed and confused.
You throw open the window.
And you say, boy, what day is it? What day is it, boy? Beef.
News time.
Classic.
Have you guys seen the SNL Christmas episode yet? I haven't seen it yet, but I saw one skit from it where Ebenezer Scrooge opens the door and goes, boy, here, grab a coin. And he throws him a coin and he hits a kid in the eye and he hits a kid in the other eye. No. And he's like just murdering everybody he throws a coin to.
Love it.
It's pretty great.
Love it.
News. I have news. I've been assigned. I didn't read it. I'm trying to quick. Mythic Quest. I love the show. I still haven't watched the newest season. I think that's new, right? Recently. Mm-hmm. Didn't you just burn through that?
Yeah, I'm a couple episodes in.
So they're apparently going to do a spin-off series with some people. I don't exactly. Do we know who?
Yeah, okay. It's the two lesbians who are
the game designers and, or the game testers.
The game testers, yeah.
And designers.
This article kind of buries the lead. What is actually happening is they're doing a spinoff, but it's going to be more of like an anthology where it's going to be a series of, you know how they've done those one-off episodes that explore like the backstory, like the one from the first season has Kristen Milioti, who we love, is about like the origins of the game and stuff like that. That's what this spinoff is going to be. It's going to be kind of like deep dives into individual characters in that sort of like
style. This will be fun. Yeah, so they
I thought you would be super excited. I was shocked you didn't pick that.
So. I did not see it. Oppenheimer is my first trailer, and I think this looks fucking great.
Are you down with OPP?
Oppenheimer for show, G. This looks really good. I'm excited. It's not till June 21st next year. No. Something else that's about as far away as that, I believe, if not further, but looks amazing. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, does look amazing.
So I had a conflict last week, and then we had another conflict like the next night, and like it just wasn't going to work. I couldn't be on the show to talk about Die Hard, but I don't give a shit. I couldn't be on the show to get that first reaction from you about the Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse trailer. So I need to like hear again. What did you think of it?
I don't even think I talked about it last week. I don't think we talked about it last week. I'm just so excited that it's here.
But thank you for listening, Lobster. We appreciate it.
That's fine.
You're welcome.
I
downloaded it. I just haven't listened to it.
There's so many people, like villains and new characters, that I don't even want to get excited for the trailer. I know it's coming. So the trailer proves to me they're working on it. I want to go into it basically knowing nothing. Just like the first Spider-Verse, because I don't think I really knew much about it. I just went to go, and it was amazing. And I want that to happen again. What about you? Yeah, are you excited?
I'm super excited. I'm so excited.
I'm very excited about it.
I love the animation style. I know it's a little divisive, but even more than that, like I love the Spider-Verse. In fact, I haven't hung it up yet, but the poster that's going to be, sorry for our listeners, behind me is a wall, and that's where I'm going to put my Spider-Verse poster. Nerd. I think we're going to repaint this room. I don't love the dark
avocado.
Yeah, I don't love it. it definitely is avocado.
I would definitely go dark, but maybe not green.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, but like it feels super dark in here, guys. Like, and I have all the lights on in this room. But that being said, so excited to see Across the Spider-Verse. Loving it.
So there's a couple things that are out now. I sat down over the weekend, I believe it was, to watch Emily the Criminal. I had nothing going on. I threw this on. If you go into this with no expectations and just let it happen, it's a really fucking good movie. We might have to watch it on the show.
And this is Aubrey Plaza?
This is, yes, our lovely lady from White Lotus and from all sorts of other things that we like. Mm-hmm.
I don't know
really
anything
good
about it.
No, then don't just go into it and watch it. She's Emily. That's all you need to know.
And she's a criminal.
No. It takes a lot of twists and turns. You see right away in the beginning, some shit happened in her past, so it's hard for her to get real work, right? Or just just watch. It's
a thing.
It's like an hour and a half. It's well worth your time. And then I wanted something that I could just kind of binge, and I've been hearing about season 2 will be out in a couple months, and they already greenlit season 3 of the Showtime show Yellow Jackets. So I have watched the first 6 episodes in the last 2 nights.
I've heard good things.
I've seen the first 3 or 4 episodes.
It's Lord of the Flies with a chick soccer team, and then some of them get out, and there's the story of them later. Like, I'm fucking in for 2 and 3 and whatever else they give me. Yeah, and it takes place.
Richie's
good.
Christina Ricci,
Christina Ricci.
We're talking Wednesday Addams, which is also like a hit show.
I haven't watched that one
yet.
Right,
I'll be talking about that in a second.
The thing that I really like about it is these chicks were in high school in '96, and that's when I was the heart of when I was in high school. So whenever they do the '96 flashbacks or they have music playing,
you're right there. You're right there with them. Yeah. You're reliving,
which means that you're as old as they are now.
Yes, I know. Exactly.
Which means you wish you could have dated them in high school.
Yeah, but they're all broken now, so I might have a chance.
That's optimistic.
That's real.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way to look at it.
What about you, Mr. Daddy?
Well, news
Wait,
story
hold on,
again.
Hold on. You just keep talking while I go get a beer, because I need a beer for this story.
Because he doesn't care. It's just me ranting and bitching on more against fucking Discovery and HBO Max.
Fuck these guys.
I know. They canceled fucking Raised by Wolves. Listen, The Time Traveler's Wife wasn't great. It was a hell of a lot better than the movie, because the series followed the book a lot closer than the movie did. And the way it ended, you can't really do a season two. So, not a big surprise there. But Raised by Wolves is really a mindfuck kind of a series. And it really needs this next season
to finish.
And they pulled it. They canceled it. So, fuck you,
well,
HBO.
A day or two ago, I got a text from our friend Stargate Pioneer. And they have already removed Westworld from HBO Max.
Oh, they're gone. Yeah.
Oh, they're gone?
Yeah. I told you this. Yep.
I knew they were going to go away, but they were gone.
Until like last Thursday night, and Friday morning they were gone.
Gone. So here's the thing, guys.
Buy your fucking
physical
media. God damn it.
Media.
I hate you both. I hate you both.
It's the only way to guarantee you own something if it's something you want to visit again and again. Otherwise, you're at the whim.
6 months ago or even a year ago, I was like, everything's streaming now. I don't need all my DVDs.
That's right. Yeah, but if I bought, say, 6 months ago, I purchased these streaming on Amazon or on Vudu, I would still have them in those collections because they were sold to me. Because Paramount Plus or Discovery, whoever came in and bought them, can't come and take something that was already sold
to
me.
They can, and they have. So you have to read the fine print.
I would shit in a shoebox and send it to Discovery's headquarters one a day.
You could definitely do that.
Okay. I might even move closer to save on postage.
Yep. So
I learned that.
Yeah.
So you lease them from the company.
Correct.
And it's bizarre. Physical media. So can you explain a little bit about FAST and why they would take? So the idea here, at least as I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you know more about the industry than I do, is that when something,
you're good,
but my understanding is that when something is aired, There's a thing called a royalty, and that means that someone who was involved in the creation or production of it gets a residual, which is like a tiny little bit of money saying, oh, yeah, thanks for making that. Somebody used it again.
So long
as
that's
for
the fish.
In traditional television, it was reruns, right?
Yeah.
So you would get a residual check from your reruns and things like that.
That's why Alan Alda is so fucking rich.
But that's... With streaming, it just exists in the library, and people can watch it a million times or watch it not at all, and you still get the same royalty check depending on...
Okay. No. That's a problem, because with what's been going on with the unions... And by the way, not all of us get... Like, I don't get residuals.
And turn off the podcast, because this is super inside baseball. I just want to talk about this. So I understand that.
Like, I don't get residuals. And no one in post really gets residuals. It's anyone who's, like, called above the line, they get residuals. So it's, like, the actors, the writers, the directors, the producers. They get, like, a small percentage anytime if a movie is aired on a local station in Winnetka. They'll get like a check for 25 cents or whatever it is. And when the company or the station that's airing it pays the licensing fees, part of those licensing fees goes to pay the residuals, which is spread out, yada yada. The straight to streaming services, HBO, Netflix, all those other ones, the unions were not set up for this kind of streaming service. They, I mean, they're pretty antiquated, so they weren't ready when this became a thing. So none of the actors or the writers or the directors or the producers were getting any checks for movies that were on streaming services. Now, within the last few years, the unions of those actors and producers and directors have been fighting to get some of that money of the shows that are streaming and the movies that are streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So what Discovery has done now that they own HBO is, oh, you want some money from this? Fuck you. And they pulled it.
They bury it, right?
They bury it. So they don't have to pay the actors or the directors or anybody else any money. And if you want it, now you're going to have to pay for it.
You have to pay for it. Or, like, I don't. What is FAST, F-A-S-T? Like, it's an acronym for, is it a type of streaming service where it's ad-supported? And so there is some revenue from it?
I believe so. Okay. I'm not too familiar with that. I know that the AS is ad-supported. But okay. Yeah.
So, in other words, so maybe it's like free ad-supported television? Is that...
Maybe? I really don't know too much about that. It hasn't come across
anything. I've been trying to Google what it is, and nothing that I've read has told me, but every article uses it, and I'm dumb. So, point being, it used to be when you subscribe to a streaming service, you could say, okay, well, here's an original show produced by the streaming service. So, yeah, it's going to be there when I want to watch it. But now that's not the case. We had Netflix produce the Marvel shows, and they're now on Disney Plus. Like, it's kind of like, it seems more fluid than it once maybe was.
Right. Yeah. It seems a lot more in flux. But they also bought those shows or bought the rights to that stuff back, which I guess makes sense. This is just, it's getting a little squirrely. Like, the little, fucking
I'll tell you what the biggest problem is. Too many lawyers.
Yeah. Fuck them. Hey, right. Let's talk about your trailers.
Let's talk about trailers.
Okay, I got a bunch of trailers to talk about.
Yeah. Talk about.
Okay, speaking about Hollywood, as I spit when I talk.
Yeah.
Thank God you, you know, I'm not spitting on you.
I'm so mad I could spit. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Babylon, the trailer for Babylon.
What the fuck is this?
I can't wait to see this because it's Hollywood and it's like in the 20s and 30s when they're bringing in talkies. It's, you know what it is? It's the same time frame as Singing in the Rain, but it's the deep dive into the deep dirt.
Talkies.
So Margot Robbie. And yeah, like everyone's in this movie. And
Margot
Robbie.
We're going to talk about her in a second.
Oh, she's like hello. Kicking it this year.
Those gams.
Oh, the gams on that girl.
She got some stems.
I used to not love Hollywood movies about Hollywood, but now because I live it, I'm living here and I see it. I'm not in the film industry, so I could see it from a distance. I enjoy them a lot more.
Do you remember the movie The Artist?
I love The Artist.
Back when it won Best Picture, I was like, okay, Hollywood really loves to break its elbow.
Oh, yeah, 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 I know. No, the best one is The Player, because that's more like a documentary, because it's more about how Hollywood fucks everybody over. I'm excited about this. The Barbie movie. Again, Margot Robbie.
In a Barbie world.
Later on, I'm going to talk about another Margot Robbie film. But
so in this one, it's a ripoff of
Barbie.
What is this trailer? A ripoff of a famous...
Oh, 2001 Space Odyssey.
With the monkeys,
It's hilarious. I didn't even want to know news about the Barbie movie. And then the trailer came out, I saw it, I was like, all right, maybe it looks funny.
So they sell it with Margot Robbie in the original Barbie black and white zebra swimsuit. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like... Ooga, ooga.
And then like the camera tilts from up from down up, and it's like it looks cute. Like it's one of those movies that if it's on, I'll watch 15 minutes of it and see. But there's so many names attached to it that it feels like it could be really funny.
And it feels like they're gonna do all eras of Barbie, like and that's kind of cool. Like that's kind of fun.
And then the last trailer I have to talk about is Kaleidoscope, a series coming to Netflix. about bank robbers, and it's coming January 1st. It's got people in it, people doing stuff. The trailer looks fun. It's a long trailer, but it's a series. So check that out at your local YouTube
You had
station.
Me at bank robbers.
Netflix, I believe you said.
It's not going to be on Netflix, but YouTube has the trailer.
Oh, has the trailer, right.
Yes.
All the trailers we talk about are on YouTube. We don't post these anywhere on Facebook or anything, but just look that shit up. Just look that shit up, guys.
Recommendation. We started watching Wednesday.
What day?
It's good. We started watching Wednesday on
Saturday. What did you start watching Wednesday?
Wednesday.
When?
Who's on first?
Giancarlo Esposito and some other people are in this.
What were you watching?
Wednesday was being watched on Wednesday. Fuck.
Wednesday.
Fuck. How was Wednesday's? How was Wednesday's watching of Wednesday?
It's good. Listen, you know what it is? It's a cross between. It's a cross between Harry Potter and there was something else. It was Harry Potter. It's very Harry.
The Addams Family.
And the Addams Family and
Beetlejuice,
Hardy Boys.
Okay.
It's a lot more like Harry Potter, but much, much darker. And the girl who plays Wednesday is amazing. Jenna Ortega. She try and see if she ever blinks. She never blinks.
Nice.
She's a robot.
In the whole thing. She's fantastic. She's so good in it. It's light. It's very well done. And what's his name? Who did Batman and Edward Scissorhands? Tim Burton has directed most of them. He doesn't direct all of them, but he directs most of them.
Doing
and
TV,
it's got very much a Tim Burton heavy hand on it.
Slumming it in the TV land.
Netflix is pulling, like you said earlier, is pulling up a lot of great talent. Lobster, what do you got for us?
Well, I wasn't here last week, and I thought I would have a lot more to talk about, but you guys covered it pretty well. So I will give you the news. And the news is that the comics... Oh, this is just terrible news. So, Will, you mentioned the AI profile pictures and stuff like that. So there's a lot of dislike or backlash, I should say, about these from artists because they claim that these AI aggregators are infringing on copyrighted works by basically using them as fodder for these AI. Basically, they learn by studying other artists, and some of those artists are in fact copyrighted. And so there've been instances where you can say, okay, give me a selfie in the style of blank artist, and it'll spit out that thing. Now, these were a craze like a week ago. Everybody was posting them. I looked at it and then I said, wait, this is something you have to pay for? I don't give a shit about that.
No. You get the first week or 2 weeks free and then you cancel it.
Yeah, I didn't play around with putting any info in it. So, but you posted yours and now you're growing a mustache because your pictures had mustaches. So you must have really liked it.
Every single one of the pictures that popped up that these AIs did, every single one of them gave me a mustache.
So basically what you're saying is the Cylons control your life.
Yeah. How do you know I'm not a Cylon?
You probably are. I'm also going to tell you about some news that once again, Netflix, history has repeated itself. Netflix has killed Blockbuster. They have done it. They have put Blockbuster out of business, specifically a sitcom about Blockbuster.
This show
that nobody
liked.
The
last Blockbuster.
Yeah, this show that nobody liked.
This show looked like shit. We all said that it should just be documentary or day in the life with the chick out in
it was
Alaska.
So good. We love the documentary, The Last Oregon. Blockbuster. We're big fans. It is in Oregon.
Basically
Bend,
Alaska. I mean, let's
Bend,
be honest.
Oregon.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. One of the last Blockbusters was in Alaska, but not the last Blockbuster.
Yeah, I think the last two out of three
were penultimate, there. The penultimate Blockbuster.
Yeah. But did you guys get the picture that I sent you in L.A.? I was coming back from the gym, and we turn a corner, and there was a Blockbuster store. Like, they the whole – I don't know what it is on the inside, but there's a pop-up for a Blockbuster.
It's a bar. It's a speakeasy. I sent you the article about it. I sent you
The
Guardian.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, you never look. You never listen, you never look, and he never remembers.
What else you got? What else
and
you
I'm
got?
I'm the only one coherent, sober, and with a memory that actually works.
I don't know if I'd say that. You drink a lot, too, on the cast. Go on. Come on. All right. What do you got?
So, I can't believe this is a real movie, but it's called The Mean One. This looks fucking bad, bro. I cannot confirm if this is a real movie or just a joke.
This looks like the next Velocipaster.
It does. It totally does. It looks like the movie that they're doing with Winnie the Pooh as well. Yeah. That's kind of the horror movie. But it's called The Mean One, and it's about the Grinch. And the Grinch is a sociopathic serial killer. And Cindy survived the Grinch when she was a kid. The Grinch killed her parents. And now he's back and fucking going to home alone that shit.
And this is what happens when beloved IT goes into public domain.
IP freely, intellectual property becomes in the public domain. This is what happens when you have AIs write the script, let's be honest.
This is true.
Speaking of a movie that seems to be infringing on some sort of intellectual property,
a lot of them.
Pretty sure you're not allowed to have dinosaurs in your title if it doesn't say Jurassic something, but this is 65 with Adam Driver, as in 65 million years ago. He plays a spaceman who is leading a bunch of cryogenically frozen tourists to a new world. They crash land. He only rescues one little girl, and they're on a planet, and it's got dinosaurs. So this fucking looks awesome.
Twist. It's 65 million years ago on Earth.
They may have actually gone back in time, whatever, but I don't fucking care. They
totally Planet of the Apes this
shit. They Planet of the Apes. Hey, but listen, this looks awesome.
What if part of his ship going boom and to get them back to the right time is what kills the dinosaurs.
Extincted the dinosaurs, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I am upset at myself for how much I am down for this.
Oh, I'm so down for it. And like, it doesn't have to be in theaters.
He's got like the Halo pulse rifle or whatever too.
This doesn't have to be in theaters. I'll watch this on streaming. It's totally fine. But this is the kind of movie I like. This is what Hollywood should be making.
Yeah.
It's like it's not an original idea.
But it's a grab bag of ideas.
We just said Jurassic Park meets Planet of the Apes meets the Buzz Lightyear movie. But also, it's an original idea.
Did you hear what we just said? Jurassic Park meets Buzz Lightyear meets Planet of the Apes.
We just pitched you the movie.
I like the Buzz Lightyear movie.
I thought it was amazing.
I like Jurassic Park and Planet of the Apes. I'm just saying, like, put those in a blender. It's Die Hard on the planet with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
It's that Hollywood pitch.
Do we have a date?
I think it's like March or April, something like that. But
put it on your calendars.
March 10th.
Trailers. Nope. Did those already. Recommendation. My recommendation is a comic book. It is my favorite childhood cartoon show, Gargoyles.
They just came out with a book?
The Disney Afternoon. It's a new comic book series. It's a new comic book from Dynamite, which publishes a lot of stuff based on not their own IP. They do a lot of licensing and comic book versions of things that exist, but it's the original creator of the show Gargoyles coming back and doing a canon continuation of the show. I think it's a great idea. I loved that show as a kid. It had all of the elements I love, fantasy and sci-fi and action and cool creatures and laser guns and robots and all that fun stuff, but just kind of updating it with some new art. Really, really cool. I'll just say we've been watching some dumb Christmas movies. We watched Noel with Anna Kendrick on Disney Plus. Check that out. We also
She is another one that's just so goddamn charming.
So charming. This also has Bill Hader in it and Billy Eichner. It's fun. And we watched the Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan's great return to acting.
Did you have to dry out afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's dumb. This movie is super dumb. It's called Falling for Christmas. It's on Netflix. Also, didn't hate it. Kind of did have the holiday spirit round about it.
Spoiler-free review. Speaking of holiday spirit, didn't know what to do on Friday night. Had a couple hours to kill. Watch Shoresy again.
Love it. I love it.
I can't.
People love Shorzy, guys.
It's so fucking good. It's Shorzy's such a beauty.
I can't right now. I can't post on Facebook because I quoted
Shorzy. Give your balls a tug.
Give your balls a tug and or something.
That's so and great. Why did they do
you're,
that?
You're in Facebook jail.
Yeah, I'm in for community standards for posting a line from a show in a group about the show. But it involves. So involved fighting, and that's what the show's about. So
Avenue 5, I'm still watching, still enjoying that.
I keep forgetting about that. I need to catch up. I'm gonna put that on my list.
I'm like one episode every 2 weeks, but it's still fun. And then there's a documentary on Netflix that I've been wanting to watch for a
while. Here we go.
I've started it like 5 times and I got away from it because there's another documentary on Netflix called like The Secrets of the Shipwreck of the Unbelievable. And ooh. Basically, they spent all this money to make a fake mockumentary, and they don't tell you till the end that it's fake. So
nice.
That got a couple people I know. But anyways, this one, Secrets of the Saqqara Tomb, felt very much like that. But it is actually real. I spent my 2 hours or hour and 45 minutes. It's a good documentary. It's one of the Netflix ones. Right around the pandemic time, they started finding some good shit over there. So it's a good... It's an interesting documentary if you like Egypt and tombs and... the oldest pyramid on Earth.
Egypt.
Or oldest pyramid in Egypt. Anyways. Fellas, what about you? I see.
Yes, you see. We finally finished 1899. Finished watching that, and it was really good. It was really, really good.
I'm having a hard time because... people are talking about 1878 and 1923, and there are all these spinoffs to Yellowstone, and they're just years. They're just years.
Years, just and numbers.
I'm just like, numbers, just numbers, fucking, numbers. Like, history class. Okay, 1899. What happened? I went to the movies and saw 1917. What the fuck?
Yeah. 1899 is a series made by, I believe, like the Dutch.
That's the multi-language British, German.
Dutch.
Yeah. It's multi-language. We watched it in the original.
Van Kloppenheimer.
Like with all the different languages. And Norwegian. Then everything was subtitled.
Yeah.
So
that's what I did too. Because a lot of it was English or broken English. And then you had the Dutch. You had the
Well, especially the last the couple Spanish of episodes. Guy. The last couple of episodes, you have people like whispering, and like the soundtrack was so loud. I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck
you see what I mean, how it was like a grab bag of everything. And then by the end, you're like, I think they might actually stick the landing. And they kind of do pretty well.
Yeah, they kind of do. It's good. And I didn't see the end coming. So it was really good. I liked it. Bob's Burgers, the Christmas special this year. A lot of fun. Oh, always great. Fun. And then we... to continue on with stuff we watched, Amsterdam.
What is this?
And
or where is this?
Margot Robbie. I think it was on HBO.
Yeah, I think it was HBO.
I think it's on HBO.
Yeah, and it's Margot Robbie and
who is it a movie, is it? Right?
Yeah, it's a movie. And it takes place in the 1930s. And
is it a murder
Christian
mystery?
Bale, Taylor
no,
Swift,
it's not a murder. Christian
Taylor
Bale,
Joy.
Yeah. It's not a murder mystery.
John David Washington.
It's I thought it would be, but it is.
You know, I'm confusing it with See How They Run, which is
See How They Run's the next one that we're going to watch.
But it looks very similar to this.
Yes, Amsterdam is more of a historical. It's an entertaining take on historical events that actually took place, and it all leads up to. And this is going to sound really weird, but. The beginning formation of the Nazis in the United States.
Great.
It's actually really good. It's awesome. Really, really good because they take a lot of liberties with history, but all those
and then they take some liberties. They take some liberties away from everyone.
But I recommend so it. It's pretty good, but it does kind of like get a little bit long in the tooth here and there. But suffice it to say, in the beginning of the movie. What's her name? The female singer who
Taylor
all the young
Swift.
Girls love. Taylor Swift. She's in it, and she's actually not bad in it, but she's not in it for very long.
She's Nazi.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Do we see her butthole like in Cats, or?
No, oh, we, I'm not going to spoil it.
We should watch Cats. We should do Cats as our next movie.
I will be fucking not here.
Because that's not even a good musical.
No, I know.
It has one good song, and that's it.
Lobster.
But and it's the song that every has, girl in the every also actress, has
Judi Dench.
It also has Judi Dench, but it has one song that every fucking girl who has ever auditioned for a musical sings. And if I have to hear that song one more fucking time. Lobster, what do you got?
Yeah, Hallmark movies. I got some pitch, guys. You guys like to make fun of me.
No.
Hallmark movies.
We watched a bunch when you're sick.
Memories. We watched a bunch of Hallmark movies. They're actually pretty good this year. I don't know what got in the water over at Hallmark, but they're doing okay. Watched the World Cup soccer event.
Football.
Final.
His life.
Argentina. Great.
That's what I call it whenever I buy a new jock.
The World Cup?
Yeah.
Football is
life. The whole world in his hands. Give your balls a tug. Probably like the greatest game ever played at the World Cup. Like just in terms of like suspense and drama.
I've heard that it was an amazing game.
Yeah, it was an amazing match. Yeah, for sure. And then last but not least, also amazing. My Buffalo Bills guys are doing pretty good stuff this year. Happy to see them play out. Before we close, I have one more question that I want to ask. And I didn't prep you guys for this, but I just want to say, like, in this Christmas to New Year's lull, is there anything you're looking forward to checking out, catching up on? Do you have like a list of things? Are you like me where you're like, here's a list of things I want to watch?
I will tell you that I have spoken to at least three people who went to see Avatar, and they all loved it. They said it was really good. And I'm like, you people are fucking idiots.
I can't wait. That's on my list.
I don't want to go and see it, but because so many people are telling me to go to see it in IMAX, I'm kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, that's it's 3 hours that I can get away and sit in the movie
theater.
It's
3 hours?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, fuck no. I'll wait for it to be on HBO. 12
minutes, boy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'll go see it that long. I'd rather see it at home, but I never saw the first one in 3D, so maybe I owe myself to go see this one in 3D.
But I heard that the 3D is really amazing. It works really well.
Stuff. I'm just going to do stuff over the vacation. I don't know what that stuff will be, but
there's a bunch of movies coming out. I'm super excited for. I know we talked about Glass Onion.
Yeah.
The Banshees of Inisherin is on HBO. Black Adam I want to see. Still haven't seen Wakanda Forever. Don't Worry, Darling. Still haven't watched Andor. But also, we're getting a new season of Letterkenny.
Wait a minute.
I've not watched Andor yet. I've not watched Andor yet.
None.
I've not watched. No. None.
Really?
Zero.
Dude. Zip.
It's Zilch. The best. It's the Nada. Best.
I know.
He's going to hate it now because we both said that.
Thousands of times. And I'm sure I'll love it, but I just haven't sat down to watch it yet.
It does move really slowly, though.
Great. You're going to help me sell it. Help me sell it to Christine. Say, hey, hon, you know, we're doing nothing this you know, week. Hey, let's watch the really slow Star Wars show. Great. Awesome. But new season of Letterkenny, day after Christmas. Glass Onion, the day before New Year's, Christmas Eve.
Oh, I saw it. Everybody dies.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. I know I had asked you specifically to tell me everything about the movie, so I didn't feel like I was missing anything.
The murderer is 007.
Oh, my God. But not that 007. It's Roger Moore.
Another 007.
From the dead.
They bring Sean Connery in as well. Next time, Legends Podcast. Year-end double feature. Woo-hoo. Marvel special presentations. Werewolf by Night, which I've heard is actually quite good. And the Very Guardians good. Of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which I've gotten mixed reviews on.
Also good.
Have a comment, question, recommendation? Email us, legendspodcasts@gmail.com, with an extra S for Spirits of the Season. This has been episode 606 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, ha 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 ha, Buffy.
This is Rum Daddy saying, Merry Christmas, guys. I love you guys.
Merry Christmas.
I'm John O'Lobster saying, God bless us, everyone.
This is Little Larry.
Little Larry says, God bless us, everyone.
Micro Mike? No, no.
Thank you, everybody, for putting up
blessings
with us.
Of the season upon you all.
And with that, we say, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.